Hi, it's Dorette Nurhassan, and welcome back to the Modern Parenthood podcast. Today, I'm excited to have Dr. Andrew Sun visiting with us again to talk about various treatments for male infertility. So, Dr. Sun, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
This podcast is meant to provide information on reproductive health. It does not establish a physician-patient relationship, and we would urge you to contact your treating provider regarding your care.
Well, I like to start off my shows with a patient example, just to kind of get things going of what we're going to be talking about today. So let's talk about a patient. Let's say his name is Matthew, and he's 39 years of age, and he and his partner have been trying to get pregnant for about 5 years, and it was found that he has varicoceles. And so he underwent surgery to have the varicoceles repaired. And for our listeners out there, varicoceles are large dilated veins that surround the testicles. And the veins bring warm blood from our bodies around or exposes the testicles to the warm blood and therefore exposes the testicles to a warmer environment. But going back to Matthew, he had surgery to repair these varicoceles. 24 hours later, he developed a postoperative infection and ended up with a unilateral orchiectomy. So one of the testicles was removed because of a postoperative infection. His semen parameters, so examining the sperm count, motility, how fast it moves, and morphology, shape of the sperm, improved marginally since the surgeries. And so here he is. He wants to know what else he can do for treatments. So today we're going to talk about various treatments for male factor fertility. We'll spend some time talking about medical treatment, and then we'll talk about surgical treatments. In our last episode, we talked a lot about lifestyle changes, but I want to talk about medical and surgical treatments today. So Dr. Sun, in our last episode, we talked about various hormonal testing, FSH, LH. So FSH is follicular stimulating hormone, LH is luteinizing hormone. We talked about testosterone and estrogen levels in a person who has sperm or sometimes don't have sperm in their semen parameters. And depending on what those blood tests show, you may choose various treatments. And so when the partners of my patients come and see me, sometimes they say, I'm on a aromatase inhibitor like letrozole, I'm on Clomid, I'm on HCG injections. Can you tell us, Dr. Sun, which patients get which types of treatments, which ones do you start off with, and how long does it take to see an improvement once they start treatments?
Yes. So many different options available, but really when you boil down all of medicine, like you said, we have two things. We can prescribe stuff and we can do surgery, right? And so, you know, when I talk to my guys and bringing it back to the physiology, you have a brain and you have testicles. Balls. And so either the problem is in the brain or the problem is in the testicles. And depending on which one is which, you have one of two different options of treatments. We'll start with the more common situation, which is that the problem is the brain. And I don't mean like a brain tumor. I just mean that the brain hormones, FSH and LH, are kind of on the lower or normal end, but the sperm is not great. And so those guys, if I tune up their brain, if I crank up the volume from their brain output, then hopefully what I can get is the testicles to respond by producing more sperm and, oh, by the way, more testosterone, which might make you feel better. So the classic medication that we use that is called a selective estrogen receptor modulator, or a SERM. The main one is Clomid. Clomid, the way it actually works is it basically tricks your brain into thinking that your estrogen level is really low. And so in a man, you can't make estrogen. You have to make it from testosterone. So the brain's response to thinking that the estrogen is really low is to crank up the FSH and LH signal to tell the testicles to make more testosterone, because it's trying to tell the testicles to make more estrogen. And by the way, when you do that, you also raise the FSH, which makes more sperm. Sometimes this is just an empiric treatment and we try it, and usually it does help. Clomid, we use it very commonly. There's even more kind of interesting nuances in the use of Clomid as a testosterone therapy. And just because some listeners may be interested in this, Clomid is actually a 60-40 combination of two isomers, meaning molecules shaped in one direction. One's called zuclomiphene and one is called enclomiphene. The zuclomiphene has more estrogen-related side effects. The enclomiphene is more purely androgenic. And so we will also sometimes use enclomiphene as a way to naturally boost people's testosterone levels as like a separate thing. But generally for fertility, let's say we put them on clomiphene or name brand Clomid, and their FSH and LH goes up and their testosterone goes up, they don't necessarily feel like they're on, like, you know, testosterone therapy oftentimes, but their sperm does get better. What also happens when you do that is that they make more estrogen, because after all, that is the mechanism of Clomid. And, you know, testicles like testosterone inside the testicle. They don't really need a lot of estrogen. And so to further increase the amount of testosterone available to the testicles, you could think of testosterone as like food or fuel for the sperm production. You can also block that conversion of testosterone to estrogen. So aromatase inhibitors, aromatase is the name of the enzyme that changes your testosterone into estrogen. So if you take a blocker, anastrozole, letrozole are the two most common ones, then you get less estrogen and more testosterone. And usually I'll give those drugs together. So if a guy comes in and his brain hormones are lower, then I'll give him Clomid and, let's say, anastrozole to hopefully crank up the LH and FSH, get more sperm, get more testosterone, but not much more estrogen. In fact, maybe lower estrogen acutely just to drive sperm production. So that's one very common treatment. And, you know, generally for the guys that have like less than great sperm, but like, you know, it's there, it's just less than perfect, we do those medications alongside dietary modification, exercise, you know, vitamins, things like that.
Well, y'all know I like to end my episodes with a myth and debunking those myths. So let's take a patient, for example. Let's call him John, and he's 45 years of age. He is married to his second spouse, and he had children with his previous spouse. Now, John, different from our first example, John did not have a vasectomy. So he had three children. His youngest child is 18 years of age. And now he has a new spouse and they can't have children. And he's saying to his new spouse, "Hey, there's no problem with me. I've had three kids. You know, look at these. I have three grown kids. Why don't you get tested? You as the female partner." Can you tell us, Dr. Sen, about why it's so important to get the male partner tested and you know, why having children in the past, regardless of whether or not you had a vasectomy, why having children in the past does not necessarily prove that you are fertile today as a male?
Right. Yes. Also a pretty common situation. And, you know, the good thing about this situation is that he's at least partially correct in that, like, it is definitely a helpful predictive factor that he has children, because that means the likelihood that he's like genetically incapable of having children is well, pretty low, pretty much zero. Now, that was 18 years ago, and a lot can happen in 18 years, and you're not the same guy, the same health, and the same sperm factory that you are today that you were 18 years ago when everything was, you know, seemingly functioning fine. So I just tell the guys, like, look, I mean, the vast, vast, vast majority, 99% of the challenge of having children is borne by the women, right? Pregnancy is tough, childbirth is tough, being a mom is tough. You just got to ejaculate once, you know, like for most people, that's what you got to do. And so like, go get a semen analysis. It's like usually less than $100 or like $100-$200. You know, it's one ejaculation of like many, many that you're going to do every year anyway, and just get tested. There is zero downside to knowing what's going on. And 18 years ago is a long time. What medications are you on? What health, you know, conditions have you accumulated? Are you taking testosterone? Maybe not now, but did you take it 3 years ago for a little bit? Like, there's so much that could have gone on. A semen analysis is so simple. Like, I'm very frank with my guys. I mean, they're all like, you know, dudes, and we just kind of like have a very casual conversation. Like, you just got to step up and like do the one thing and do a semen analysis, you know?
Wonderful. And so the semen analysis is one easy, quick test to get done. So thank you, Dr. Sun, for being our guest today and talking about the various forms of fertility treatments for abnormal semen parameters.
Yes, thank you for having me. This is a fantastic conversation. Appreciate it.
Pioneer.